seemed like the biggest surprise possibly was the free bumpers.
Yeah, I certainly didn't predict that. It was always a possibility, but I wasn't anticipating that Apple would say anything that specifically said there is a problem that requires us to do a hardware solution to sort of prevent you from holding it that way. So I think that the message that they were trying to send in the end wasn't so much that there is a hardware problem that requires us to give you a free bumper, but more like, hey, aren't we awesome? I mean, we really want you people to be happy. So guess what we're doing? We're giving you a free case, just giving you a free case, that sort of thing.
So make it more of a bonus rather than something that had to be fixed.
Yeah, I think I think the message they want to send is more like they want to make sure that you are super satisfied with this. So even after we've pummeled you with statistics saying that very, very few people are experiencing this problem and very, very few people are even calling us to complain about it, we want to be proactive and send you this free thing just to make you guys happy.
Right. Do you think that the problems with it were overblown to some extent?
I would say so. It depends on where the reaction is coming from. I myself in my review noted that almost as soon as I took it out of the box, I was noticing weird problems depending on the signal strength, depending on how I held it. But for that, I also mentioned that it gets better reception than my 3GS, and whatever this signal disappearance problem is, it's not something that I can reproduce 100% of the time. Unfortunately, I think the news sort of got away from Apple and became just a simple flat, the iPhone 4 gets horrible reception and it drops calls because of the antenna design. And that wasn't true at all. It was just that there is definitely some sort of quirk in how it was designed. Apple did nod towards that by saying, well, it does drop calls a little bit worse than the 3GS does. But that certainly shouldn't have been the alpha and the omega discussion about the iPhone 4.
Right. And I guess there was just so much that kind of just got passed around through the media where people were just telling these stories about all these bad things happening. And I guess it's easy for that to get amplified.
Yeah, absolutely. I think the Consumer Reports piece was the straw that broke the camel's back. I don't know if Apple was planning on making a response before they saw what Consumer Reports had to say. But the idea of not recommending the iPhone 4 based on the antenna issue, I think that was just reckless and just didn't tell the whole story about this phone.
Yeah, so you would even question just the way that they came out with their report.
I would definitely question their conclusion, because if you're saying that this issue in and of itself means that this publication cannot review the iPhone 4, that would have to indicate that the dropped call issue or the antenna issue is such a big deal breaker that it doesn't matter what's going on with the rest of the phone. It doesn't matter that you're getting four times the upload speed as you did with the 3GS. It doesn't matter that you're consistently getting better reception with calls than you were with the 3GS. It doesn't matter that it's an improved camera. It doesn't matter that it's an improved screen. It doesn't matter that it has better GPS, on and on and on down the list. That the problem with the antenna is so bad that all of that is completely irrelevant. And I don't think that they went anywhere near explaining that, making that case. Again, the worst that it's a very real problem. I don't want to say that it's a pretend problem that people are just making up. But again, it's mostly a parlor trick that is not affecting the vast majority of people who are using the iPhone. And if you just put it inside a case, which I think is just a smart idea anyway, the problem just disappears completely. So.
Yeah. What about the argument that Apple made that there are similar problems with a lot of other smartphones? Is that really true?
Yeah, that was the one part of their press conference that kind of left me hanging a little bit. It is true that you can't change the law of physics, that putting an antenna inside the case, which we all know has been the vogue for the past 4 or 5 years, means that it's certainly going to be possible to hold the phone in such a way that you're going to lose some signal. I think that they sort of pressed that button too hard by suggesting that this is something that happens to all phones. Certainly, when I discovered that problem, when I was testing the iPhone, I mean, the first thing I did was get out the three other Android phones that I've been reviewing for the past month and a half, the Droid X and the Evo HTC and even my Nexus One and my iPhone 3GS, and I couldn't reproduce that exact same problem. Maybe I'd lose a bar, but I wouldn't just slowly see all five bars trickle away down to zero. So there's certainly something unique to the iPhone 4 about this problem. It's probably the worst articulation of that specific problem that I've seen. But to say that, oh, well, gosh, this is no worse than any other phone that you'll ever see, I don't think that they can support that statement.
What do you think about the Droid X? Do you feel like it's a pretty solid competitor to the iPhone?
I think it's a terrific phone. I think that its shortcomings are all due to the shortcomings of Android, which is just, it's not nearly as polished. It's just not nearly as complete and unified a universe as the iPhone universe is, you know, between the hardware, the OS, and the software. As usual, I think that it's typical for an Android phone where the first thing you should do when you get it out of the box is wipe the entire desktop clean, just get rid of all the shortcuts, all the widgets that they've put on there, and just put it together the way that you like it, because they just dump all these into a potato can and then spray it, I think, indiscriminately on the screen. It just makes it more complicated and more confusing to use. I don't think that any Android phone has ever really come close to the simplicity and the power of the iPhone. That said, if the iPhone doesn't really speak to you, or if you really want the advantage of a different carrier, then the Droid X, I think, is the best Android phone I've ever used. I do like the larger screen. The screen isn't the same high quality as the iPhone 4 screen, but it makes up for it by simply being larger. I think it has a unique advantage to that size that a smaller screen doesn't have. So I think it's kind of a push between those two. All in all, I think that they're two very, very good phones. It just comes to a matter of your philosophy and what you're looking for in a phone.
And does that also mean, like, when you go with an Android, you have to do a little bit more customization on it than an iPhone? What you were talking about with having to kind of clear it and do things a little bit, it takes a little extra work maybe in customizing?
I think that's absolutely true. Every time that I do a serious review of an Android phone or a new version of the Android OS, it really does take me 2 weeks before I can even begin to put together an opinion. The first week is just to clear my mind of everything that I'm used to with the iPhone so that I know that I'm not giving it expectations that it should work like my iPhone. But then there's the other week where it really takes a while to get it dialed in, to get it set up exactly the way you want it, because out of the box, it's a little bit clumsy. I really don't think that they pay a whole lot of attention to how people really interact with the device and how they really use these things. I can't remember which one it was, but one of the three big ones that got released a couple months ago, I actually had to turn three or four pages before I found the button to launch the web browser. And you would think that that would be front and center, one of the big things that anybody would want to do with it. If you have to look for how to launch the web browser or look for how to launch the camera, that's the sort of elegance that I think is missing. It's something that would be second nature to anybody who's working on an iPhone, but on an Android device, it's up for grabs.
Yeah, I guess that's a tribute to Apple that, what is this now, a few years now that they've had the iPhone out, and now you finally have a phone that's like kind of close to where the iPhone is as far as the interface, and still not even there.
It's getting there. I think with 2.1, with the first release, where I really thought that it was operating on the same level as the iPhone, or at least the iPhone OS 3, right, where that's when I started to say that once you have a couple of weeks of experience with the Android and you have now set it up the way that you like it and you've gone into the marketplace and found the Twitter app that you like and found the camera editor, you know, all these little third-party apps that you really need to put in order to make it work the way you want it to, once you've spent a couple of weeks getting it set up the way you like, I think it's performing on the same basic level as the iPhone. I think the iPhone 4 has taken another jump ahead. iOS 4 has taken another jump ahead. I also think that the iPhone 4 has taken another jump ahead with hardware, so I still think they're a generation ahead. But it's been a long time since you could laugh off Android. I think it's a perfectly reasonable, perfectly competent, and perfectly credible operating system. It's not like others where I'm like, oh, okay, that's fun. You've made something that looks like an iPhone, only it doesn't actually work. But hey, good job designing that mail icon. It really does look like it's in color and shadow.